Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome back to the Anti-Pattern Podcast. This time, right back from the TDSE conference, so the National Symposium of German-speaking people in Ninkasi. And we collected some impressions, which we like to share with you.
And feedback. Hey, everyone. Yeah, so this TDSE was in Salzburg in Austria.
Mm-hmm.
And we are basically back the first week now. And today we want to review what happened, go through the details, go through the feedback, and review also how it went for us. First time exhibition, right?
Yeah, yes. Our first official demo also.
First public demo, right?
First public demo, correct.
Yep. So I would say overall, quite successful for us.
Mm-hmm.
So the TDSE, for those of you who are not familiar, as just Christian said, German meeting for all of the Ninkasi folks, German speaking, right? This is why it's in Austria. It's not just German, it's German speaking. And usually it's a mixture of academic researchers, basically, right? And real life practitioners from the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so this gives a good overview of people who are qualified to give you some feedback on your solutions, so to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what was your impression overall of TDSE?
So at first the venue was great. It was the perfect setting in Salzburg, which is a beautiful city. I've never been to Salzburg before. It was really nice. And the Congress Center there had the exact perfect size for these folks. So up to my knowledge, we were around 400, 380 or something participants.
Right.
And the food was great. So
maybe see this. Both of us like food a lot. Hopefully not too obviously.
Yeah, but my expectations were met. So I never ate bad in Austria.
No, it's true. It's true. And this is I would say it's also true for southern Germany, right? So mm-hmm. it's always in German speaking countries, the more you go to the south, the better gets the food.
Or maybe this is also valid for all of Europe.
Okay. So Christian's half Italian, so he has to say that. But yeah, right.
Yeah, and apart from the venue itself, it was quite all right down there. So it was nearly 5 hours.
Yeah,
from Mannheim
to get there. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but the first day was the TVP. The Tool Vendor Project.
This is what we started with. So this is the big, our biggest part in the whole conference, basically. More than 3 hours that we demoed our solution. And then we had two following days of our booth at the exhibition, right, where we talked to, potential customers or just researchers giving us feedback. And let's go through that. You did a really great demo, right?
Thank you.
I keep seeing that the demo is enhancing, not just by features, right? Because we have more to show from day to day, but also from how you do it. So I really liked what you showed to all of the people in the audience. From the feedback we got, what was your favorite? What was the most helpful feedback that we received from?
So at first, I'm reminding myself of the worst feedback.
And we
both know who I mean. Okay. It was not on the content, but on the person. Okay, but apart from that, the best feedback we got.
This is not public, so you can say whatever you want, right?
I cannot point out one exact feedback, but I was surprised that the folks who were in our demo, which were around 20, that they really got the idea of it and really saw the potential of it, because I think we did not mention it. The whole conference is about MBSE, model-based systems engineering.
Yeah.
But to my impression, more and more these technical processes in systems engineering, like the configuration management process and lifecycle processes, they really start to gain interest in the broader sense. And I think exactly these people were sitting in our demo, and they were asking good questions. And that was surprising to me.
Which is maybe natural for that kind of audience, right? Usually, when it comes to demos, I'm always worried that we are too technical, right? That we, if you know too much in details about something that you did, right, then you keep on talking about something in all of the details that people really don't care or can relate to, right? But that's in with that conference, it's not the case, because there are many, you know, nerds like us.
Yeah, more the practitioners than the C-level.
Yeah, true. So this is usually my worry, but not for that demo. So it was the right audience for doing such a demo.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what I learned, basically, and it's not I don't want to call it technical feedback. It's more like how we market it or how we talk about it, right? Certain things that were obvious to us need some explanation or need to be mentioned, right?
Yeah.
The one thing that we always keep on saying is this graph that we want to span, right? We'll have billions and billions of relationships. This is, we don't know how big exactly, right? It depends on the customer, it depends on its data, right? But we know it's huge. And something that is for us goes without saying is that those relationships are not created manually, right? Majority of them will not be created manually. And this is something I never mentioned because it was so obvious to me, of course, right? But people were asking, do you expect people that people will enter billions and billions of relationships? Mm-hmm. No, obviously not. So this is something that I learned. We should talk about this more, right? And for me, I don't want to call it mental model, but what I learned out of it is there is basically three baskets of where the relationships are coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can be synchronized from a existing silo, right? It's something that we connect to and we say, okay, get a structure out. So we have some relationships already. Second is you can enter it manually with our tool, but only a few of them, right? The relationships that you need to make sure that they're 100% accurate and they're not just, you know, there's no ambiguity, right? This is true, whatever it is, right? Must be decided by human being. And then thirdly, it can come from automation. You know, the business logic will create the relationships, or AI will do some statistical analysis and say, okay, these things, they should be connected.
Mm-hmm.
And the likelihood of that being wrong is unfortunately not 0%, right? It will be hopefully not too much, but 1, 2, 3, maybe 5%, the likelihood that the connection is actually not true. But this is how we should, you know, this is actually how we already thought about it, but we never talked about it. And this is something that I learned. We should talk about that stuff more often.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And then after this demo, there was an icebreaker session in the evening. Yeah. And then the first conference day started.
First conference, and we had a couple of potential customers, prospects visiting our booth.
Mm-hmm.
And what I received as feedback is great what you're working on. This is really an unsolved issue, right? The challenging questions were more in the field of how are you going to do it? Also looking at the, you know, limited number of people that we have, right? This is a feedback that we received and said, okay, obviously we need to start somewhere, right? And we cannot digest the whole elephant, right, at once. We need to slice it and then go step by step. So this was definitely one. And the other feedback I got is semantics, basically, right? So the a friend of us told us the unspoken, the unspoken elephant in the room that people that introduce industrial AI in the moment are afraid to talk about is the fact that introducing AI without semantics, with just looking at the raw data of dozens of existing legacy tools, is not working out. Mm-hmm. Where are the semantics coming from? Right. And this is also something that we should talk about more. It was also something really obvious for us when we, you know, designed our tool. We need semantics. We need, you called it ontology namespaces, right?
Yeah. Machine-readable semantics. Yeah.
Machine-readable semantics, right? And this is something should be more prominently on the slides and on, you know, everything we communicate about.
Yeah.
that was really, really helpful to get that feedback.
Yeah, I was surprised while the two conference days that we had much more people on the booth than I expected.
Yeah.
So I was on the TDSE with a booth under different flags for years now.
Yeah.
And I never got that much feedback and attention.
Yeah.
That was amazing to see. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the right time now that people
right
now see that they have an advantage looking for such solutions.
Yeah, true. And received really good feedback. People liked our company color.
Oh yes, yeah.
The violet is actually pretty unique with that color, right? Because we said, okay, looking into the existing PLM market, there's blue, there's green, there's red, there is, you know, but violet was not taken. So we took, you know, it's what is it in English then? It's Verkehrsviolett. So is it the traffic violet? Yeah, so this is our color, and it's also something that I liked hearing. Right? The company color is great.
Yeah. To which tracks or which presentations have you been? What did you like there most?
So I kind of go back and forth between the research track and the practitioners track, so to say. I guess they call it differently, but I call it research and practitioners. Because usually you have this problem that in theory, you can talk about so much stuff, right? And this is so huge. And then if you look into the real world, the thing that you can realize is a portion of it. And that portion is maybe a percent or something, right? So always be careful when you talk to talkers, right? They talk a lot, but they don't know how to realize stuff. So always be careful with those folks because they have such a huge understanding of things, but they have no idea how to realize it. And this is what I keep on seeing. This is not how we should do it, right? We should talk about what we think is working, right? And if we do not have it done yet, we should be a little bit resistant or a little bit careful with explaining or talking too much about. This is my view at least, right? Because the more you talk, people will, you know, you raise some expectations and then you cannot meet it, right? So we try to talk about the things that are realizable or at least already realized, right? And not too much around it. This is what I always, you know, hear and feel from the actual presentations. I had to go to Nico's presentation, Nico Kasper, former SAP colleague. I helped him with his PhD, and he's not done yet, but he was presenting basically his, you know, the main results of what he did there. Really great presentation, right? The performance analysis, the benchmarking that he did is also kind of an input to what we are doing currently, right? So this was something that I had to watch, right? And it was also many people were interested in that, by the way. And other stuff, there were so many AI presentations, right? Kind of obviously, right? There were multiple AI presentations, right? Did you see one of those?
Unfortunately not, but I saw it also on different booths. And yeah, what I asked myself is, will those products exist also in 5 years?
You mean so the AI solutions?
The AI solutions, right. Because everyone tries to call this automation now AI. Maybe it's a little bit enhanced by the by the technology that is available.
Right.
But it seemed to me a little bit like you have to talk about AI. And this is what also we are experiencing.
Of course, and it's not saying that we don't talk about AI because we see this very critical and the bubble is going to burst anyway. The bubble is going to burst, but the thing is, it will continue, right? Look at .com.
It's not going away.
The technology is not going away. It's just that too many people created companies and worked on stuff, and then at some point people will realize, oh, not all of it is actually working out, and then the bubble is going to explode. So the same will happen in AI. The question is just when, right? It will slow down, but it will come to actual, in my view at least, it will be fruitful. It will definitely be fruitful. The question is just how long does it take, and what actual use cases are the most relevant ones, right? I visited Fraunhofer IESE, Andreas, his presentation, which was also really, really good, actually. Except that he had some problems with his slides, but what he was working on was really interesting because they were creating requirement statements, right, for the requirement engineering part by LLMs. And that was interesting. I did see that other folks are also using LLMs for such stuff, right? Mm-hmm. For every kind of, you know, text generation, be it a requirement, be it a technical documentation, be it whatever, right? That makes a whole lot of sense to me. The only thing then is that other stuff, when it comes to suggesting a new structure, for example, right? Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, if you would have asked me, this would not have been something I would call an AI use case. This is just automation, right? This is just, mm-hmm. or...
If then,
yeah, maybe. Or it's some statistical analysis. There mm-hmm. is something similar, therefore you need to do it. And then yeah. you can call it AI, but it's not an LLM, right? So did see that as well. Currently, everything's labeled AI, basically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. What did you learn on the booth?
On the booth itself, that many people had interest in our product, which I did not expect, as I already stated. And it was also nice to see, because this event is kind of family and friends to us. How many people came around and said, hey, yeah. I'm not a potential customer, but I really like what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Or even to say, I can be a multiplicator for you in future.
Yeah.
That was really, really nice. And
that happened to me with other startups that are currently just funding and founding the company.
Right.
And I talked to multiple of those, at least four or five, and they came up to me and said, oh, we are working on AI agent 4X, right, for mm-hmm. something. And I said, well, AI agent is something we don't want to do ourselves. This is a great way to collaborate.
Yep.
Right? And my basic feeling, I guess I said that before, is other startups are not our competition, even if they mm-hmm. do the exact same thing as we are doing, because the actual competition is the legacy on-prem big companies with all their marketing and sales force that are 100 times stronger than we are in terms of pushing it to the market, right? Mm-hmm. Even if the technology is weak. So collaborating with other startups, we are definitely not afraid of. Mm-hmm. We need to work together somehow, right?
Yeah.
To actually realize something. And that perspective, it's just an invitation, right? To all of these startups out there working on, let's call it industrial AI and enabling technology.
Mm-hmm.
I would call ourselves part of the enabling technology, right? But definitely, yeah. So this needs to happen.
Yeah.
And we will have our AI research day on November 27th.
Mm-hmm.
So later this month, where we invited roughly 20. Last time I counted, we were up to 18 people from mm-hmm. multiple organizations, research and companies. And the idea is to exchange on the topic, right? And then maybe come up with a paper next year.
Yeah, and this is why the next episode will be a little bit later, not in 2 weeks.
Yeah, will be a little bit later, potentially. It will be the beginning of December, so podcast 22. And then we want to show or talk about results of that workshop,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but coming back to the presentation, so what I was watching was the presentation from Marco Folinieri mm-hmm. and Tim Wilkins on PLE, product line engineering, and the topic of product line engineering was not the only one presentation.
Yeah,
there were multiples, and also the podium discussion mm-hmm. was about PLE. And this is also interesting to see how this topic evolved.
Over the years,
yeah, because... Yeah, some years ago, it was a kind of, the next possibility to model variance
mm-hmm.
or to model variability. But Tim and Marco, they showed an interesting thing, because they said, hey, these models behind PLE could be potentially in a specific tool,
mm-hmm.
vendor specific, but could also be modeled in something like the SysML V2
mm-hmm.
natively, so to say.
Right.
So the tool itself uses this information and then they bring in the solver for configurations and so on. Right. So the tools are not unnecessary in future.
Right.
But the information can be shared much easier across the lifecycle. This is really going into what we are also thinking and also saying, that you have to democratize information from the early stages down the whole lifecycle.
Yeah, down to the whole lifecycle. And that you mentioned variant management, something that we did not deliver yet with our beta release, mm-hmm. right? Something that we are working on. And there's this, a bigger field than people are expecting, right? First of all, anything basically can vary, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the bill of material, right? Whatever the bill of materials in the end. So this is definitely something that you need to take into account. And then you talk about solvers, right? I don't want to just have a Boolean solver that mm-hmm. says this yes, this no, this yes, this no, right? I want to have constraint based as well in there. So this is something that I guess we need to figure out, bring together in a joint concept, right? We know the pieces, we know the building blocks, right?
Yeah.
And from the customer perspective, whoever wants to introduce something they call building blocks, something they call an CTO, CTO plus process, whatever, mm-hmm. right? Whenever you hear this stuff, this is not going to fly without variant management. People will call it maybe differently, but in the end, it's all variant management. So this is something that we need to bring to the table as well. And it needs to be in a joint concept together with versioning, branch and merging, config management, change management, and effectivities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And that's the goal, right? That's the goal. Right. That being said, anything else from your end?
Let me think. Not really.
No. Not really. So maybe just as an outlook, as we said, next podcast will be a little bit delayed because Christian is going to India.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So he will be away.
Spoiled it.
Yeah. Okay, I keep on forgetting it. Anyway. Right, so he's not going to be here, so the next podcast will be a little bit delayed next time, but then stay tuned, because next time will be really interesting. We want to review the AI Research Day that is going to happen end of November, so expect the next podcast to be around first week of December, right? And with that being said, leave us a comment, like, subscribe, and talk to you soon then. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.